Have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Believing God to minister to us tonight. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Succoth, which belongeth unto Judah. And he pitched between Succoth and Azekah, the Ephraim of Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched in the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. In the 32nd verse, it said, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight, just because he's worthy to be praised. Amen. This is a long told story. The children of Israel have been fighting against the Philistines, and the Philistines have some men in their army that are very well rounded men for war. Goliath being one of them, who is 10 and a half feet tall. Amen. He's not the only giant over there. There are 4 other guys there. There's Goliath's brother. There's a guy named Lami, Ishbibenov, and a man who had 6 toes. Glory. That's all I know about him. Now, the reason I know these guys existed was because that's why David grabbed 5 stones when he went by the creek. Amen. Wasn't he was worried about 1 stone getting the job done because he knew God was taking care of the battle. He just figured them other 4 guys wanted some, he'd take some for them. Glory. Hello? That's confidence. It's kind of like if they don't really appreciate what I'm fixing to do to their buddy, they come on off the hill and I'll get rid of them now. Because eventually I'm going to get rid of them. And eventually when he became king, he sent the mighty men of valor into the land of Philistia, and they killed all 4 of those guys. Hello? Smile at me. Amen. Church, I want to talk to you tonight about the power to face your giants, part 2. Amen. I talked to you this morning about overcoming the things that are in your life, your addictions, your fears, all the different things, the phobias that ruck in our lives. First of all, I said you got to plug into God's power. Amen. David got empowered by God when he was anointed king. Can I tell you, we today are empowered by God through the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do a work of God in this world, and through the power of the Holy Ghost. We are entities that can work and do what God has sent us to do. This is what Jesus said about the New Testament church. Greater things ye shall do because I go unto the Father. Amen. Why is that? Because the same anointing that touched through him is the same anointing that's flowing in the church today. And if we get plugged into that power, we've got the power to be overcomers in the grace of Jesus Christ. Could you say amen? Glory. Paul, one of the most educated men of the New Testament church, writer of 2/3 of the New Testament, made this statement in my speech in 1 Corinthians 2, 4, 5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Church, let me tell you something. If all you got is faith somebody talked you into, you ain't got nothing. If all you've got is knowledge of God and no real anointing of God, you don't have nothing. When trouble comes, it's going to run. Notice what Jesus said about the men who were knowledgeable of scriptures in his day. They do draw nigh to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Hello? What's he getting at? He said, well, they know what to say, and they know how to say it. They just don't know how to practice it. Come on, church. If all you got's lip service faith, it ain't going to work when trouble comes. Come on, church, that's good stuff. Amen. But now, church, not only do you need to get plugged into power, but now, point 2, you got to choose the right weapons. Hello? So I said, "Preacher, what you talking about?" Some of us got to understand the warfare you're tied up in. Don't take natural weapons. Hello? One of these days, I'm going to put together a sermon on the weapons of God's warfare, and I'm going to go find me some pieces to use. I mean, I'm going to walk up here with a jawbone of a donkey. That's a successful weapon. One guy killed 1,000 guys with it. Hello? Then turned around when he got thirsty and drank something out of it. Hey, amen. I don't know about you, but that's some bad weaponry. Oh, you got a bunch of 1,000 men armed to the teeth, and all he's got, the jawbone that's been bleached by the sun over in the corner, and he picks it up and kills 1,000 of them well-armed men. Glory. Now, granted, he was anointed of God, but I'm going to tell you, sonny, that was really something. Amen. Then I see another guy in a pea patch with an ox goad. He ain't even got a spear or a sword. He just got something people use to plow with their oxen. Amen. And next thing you know, he's killed 600 well-trained army men over a pack of peas. Glory. I like peas, but I don't know I like them that bad. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. But now notice this. David is going to choose that. Number one, he picked the stone of the past. Hello? Somebody said, "What are you talking about, preacher?" David understood what brought him through the first time. Listen to what he said. David said, "Moreover, the Lord has delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." What is he saying? He's saying, "Hey, I'm not fighting with this armor." Paul told him, said, "You can take my armor." Now, first of all, church, I want you to get this picture. You got a teenage kid who's about 5'10" or 5'11". You got a king that's over 7 foot tall. He hands him a helmet that's way too big for him. Hello? He gives him probably, Saul wore a mesh chain for his vest because that would reflect the arrows better. You see this poor kid standing there, can't even hardly move his legs now because all he's been doing herding sheep. He ain't been toting all this heavy armor, and he's trying to figure it out. About that time he said, "Look, this stuff won't work for me. I know it's your way of doing things, but all I need is this little sling right here and some rocks. And you know what? I got to depend on what I know is tried and true." He said, "When I got in the battle with the lion, I used the power of the anointing of God, and God delivered him into my hand. When I got tangled up with a bear, God delivered him into my hand." Can I tell you, church, the history you have with God will give you power to be an overcomer of the things that are coming at you in the future. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" What you've got to do is develop a history of trusting in God. And every time God gives you a victory, you can grab that victory as a weapon to say, "Hey, my God did it then. He is the same God on the throne today. He'll be the same God there tomorrow. And that same God that brought me out then is the same God going to carry me through now." Could you say amen? Oh. David said, "I've already got some experience. God took care of me then. This guy ain't no worse than a lion or a bear." Hello? Amen. First Chronicles, the 16th chapter. "Give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name. Make known the deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all the wondrous works. Glory ye in the holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. For seek the Lord in his strength and seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" That's why you need to have the word of God, because you can think about it. The devil said, "Look, I'm going to put you in the fire." She says, "No, no problem. I know three boys went in the fire, walked out the other side feeling good." Amen. "Oh, I'm going to give you to the lions." Well, I seen Daniel go in the lions, didn't get up the next morning well rested because the lions couldn't touch him. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Amen. "Well, I'm going to put you in a boat and sink. It's not no problem. I got a God that can speak waves down and walk on the water to come get me out of the middle of it." You say, "What are you talking about?" I already know what God can do, and that God that's on my side is not going to let me go because I got the stone of the past. My God is yesterday, today, and forever, and because of that, I can hang on to him when the giants come against me. Woo. Man. Now notice this. He also grabbed the stone of prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 30. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and for his daughter. But David encouraged himself in the Lord." What it says, when David got to the point he needed to, he understood, "I'm going to overcome these problems. I got to do it on my knees." Church, the reason most people keep having trouble is because they keep forgetting how to get a hold of God. I don't know how many times I've been called to talk to ministers who have messed up. I'm a member of the state ministerial care board, and we spend time talking to guys that have messed up and spend time trying to work with them to help them get their life back together, get their family back together. And I, to this day, have never sat down with a man that's messed up that didn't have a closed Bible and couldn't remember where his altar was. Hello? Can I tell you, as a pastor and a minister that's in the past has dealt with members that, you know, as an evangelist, people would come to me and talk to me, say, I can't talk to my pastor, I need to talk to somebody. And I'd say, well, whatever you tell me, I'm going to tell them because they're your pastor. Huh? I mean, you can sell the sheepdog anything you want to. That's all I was, an evangelist. But the shepherd ought to know what's going on in his flock. So if they told me, I'd go tell them. I said, anything you don't want him to know, you don't need to tell me. Hello? That's good preaching. I don't care if y'all agree with it or not, but as a shepherd, I ought to know what's going on in the flock. Somebody tells you something I ought to know, you ought to tell me. Well, I've got to hold their confidence. Ain't none of y'all licensed ministers, so you ain't bound by that. Come on, church, smile. And I'd be willing to bet you most of you ain't trained counselors either. Ooh, that's good preaching. I got some looking at me. Well, bless God, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. That's fine. When it blows up in your face, don't come running to me. That's good preaching. But can I tell you that most people that I've talked to, whether it be ministers or laymen, when they get in problems, it is because they've forgotten the one source that keeps them out of problems, and that is a communication with God. Because if you are talking to God and you are reading His Word, you are never going to run into the problems everybody else does. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher, if I live right, I'm not going to have problems. I didn't say that. You're going to get to go escalated. You're going to get beyond them little things that mess up folks. You're going to get to the fiery furnaces and the lion's dens because you've grown up big enough. God said, I can trust them to go through something a little better. I can get them to a bigger plane where they're going to do some stuff that's really going to be worth it. Come on, church. Hallelujah. You say, what are you talking about? You're not going to get caught up in the little stuff. You're going to be up there fighting the big battles because God's going to be right there with you because you're in tune with Him and you're praying. Come on, church. Amen. David prayed. That's why he wasn't afraid of a giant standing in a valley, because he understood, my God's greater because I talk to Him every day. Listen to what he said in Psalms 57. He said, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until the calamities are overpast. I will cry unto God the Most High and unto God that performeth all things for me. Did you hear what he said? He said, but I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of the mercies of the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in a day of trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For my God and my defense. And my God has my mercy. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, David understood, when I'm in trouble, I'm going to God. That's why he tells us in Psalms 91, blessed is they who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. For if they do, they shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. If you're in a prayer warrior and you're talking to God, you're under the shadow of a God that can take care of every problem you got. Could you say amen? The stone of prayer. Listen to what Isaiah tells us, Isaiah 26. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. But trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah has everlasting strength. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it shall be open unto you. But if you don't ask, you will never receive. If you don't seek, you are never going to find. And if you're not knocking, nobody's ever going to open the door. But I tell you, God made us some promises in His Word, and they're all based on prayer. Listen to what Jeremiah said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If we learn how to cry out to God, we can see bondage broken. Nobody else believes can be broken. We'll see things happen nobody ever thought could be happening. We'll see giants fall, and people said could never fall. Why? Because my God has the power to do those things that will astound man if we learn how to communicate with Him. Glory. Listen, He also grabbed the stone of priority. Somebody says, stone of priority? 1 Samuel chapter 17. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass to the host of the Philistines this day, unto the fowl of the air, and to the wild beast of the earth, and to all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and his will give you into my hand. Hello? David understood something. It wasn't his reputation on fine when he went to that valley. Let's face it, if he went down there and got whipped, it wasn't going to mean nothing. Goliath ought to defeat a teenage boy that's never trained to do war. He ought to handle him without a problem. David said, but see, I understand something. This ain't about me. This is about my God's reputation. And because I'm stepping out, God's not going to let his reputation go down. Because I'm trusting in the one who has the power to take you out. And notice something, Goliath is saying, I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air. And David said, no, sir, God's fixing to wipe you out so fast you ain't going to know what happened, because he's doing it for one purpose. He's not doing it to make me somebody. He's not doing it to lift me up in front of the people. God's going to do it so everyone here will know there is a God in Israel. Can I tell you, God's not going to do something for you just to make you look like something. It's all about him. And if we got our priorities straight and we give him the glory for what's happening in our life, I tell you, God will tear down every wall and move every mountain and bring you through with power to keep his reputation. Glory. Y'all heard these people talk? I was preaching the other night, somebody coming out, laid hands on me, got healed. Like they was the one done it. You seen these TV preachers? Oh, I got the healing gift. You know, you got some, so they give the gift to give gifts. They done got so good, they can give things that only belongs to God. Hello? And if I messed you up, I'm sorry. See me after church. If you can prove what they said by Scripture, I'll back off of that. But my Bible said all power belongeth unto God. It ain't mine to give. I can't give you gifts. I don't own a gift. You don't either. So don't come to me and tell me, I got the gift. Now, everybody's got gifts. They're called gifts of the Spirit. According to my Bible, they work through anybody that's willing to give in to God whenever God wills them to work. I don't own a gift. I can't heal you. But we got people that come up here, we're having prayer line, we're going to heal folks. So when God don't strike them dead right there. But that kind of stuff will never get you where you need to be with God. Moses didn't go to the promised land, not because he smote a rock twice. Although you come to me at church, I'm going to agree with you. Scripture said he smote the rock twice. But biblically, in the Word of God, it says exactly word for word why Moses couldn't go to the promised land, and that rock was never mentioned in that statement. What God said was, you did not sanctify me before the people. Therefore, you cannot enter into the promised land. So what are you talking about? You said Aaron and I brought water from the rock. That's exactly what Moses said. Aaron and I brought water from the rock. Therefore, y'all drinking water we brought you. God said, I brought the water out of the rock. I've been the one bringing water out of that rock every day. Wasn't something you started, ain't something you're going to finish. I'll bring water out of a rock anytime I want to. But you didn't give me glory for it. Church, can I tell you, when God does something for you, the very first thing you need to do is make sure God is the one being lifted up for what's happening. I don't care what it is, it's all about him. And as long as he's got your priorities straight and you understand it is him and not me, but it is God who worketh in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's scripture. And if I understand that, then by his grace I am going to be a conqueror. Could you say amen? Oh, I know that's not what somebody expected, but that's good preaching. Amen. See, your trouble can be God's opportunity to show somebody how great he really is. Glory. Hello. Listen, he also took the stone of passion. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight the Philistine. David had a passion for God. He had a passion for the things of God. all those men in that military army of Jerusalem were followers of God. They've probably all been to the temple. They've offered sacrifices. The king did it on a regular basis and sung worship at the tabernacle and the things that they had to worship God with. They were all followers of Jehovah. But David had a passion for God that went beyond the tabernacle and the worship of the congregation. When he's alone out in the field, he's singing praises unto God, writing songs to him while he's out there and singing to him while he's with his sheep, because he wants to know God. He's communing with God. He's got a passion for the things of God. And all of a sudden he shows up, and that guy's down there, and the Goliath's sitting there going, I defy the God of Israel. And I see David going, that bunch of chickens anyway, they're up here hiding. You say, he didn't say that. Why do you think his brother come back? Why don't you go tend your few sheep? Reminding him he's just a shepherd. We're military guys. I defy the king of Israel. That chicken's back there in the hiding himself. About that time he says, I defy the God of Israel. David said, when you guys get through eating, put that stuff on the thing, I'm finna go whoop this dude. He ain't talking about my God. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Amen. Any of y'all know who Perry Stone is? He has some friends that on a football team. And they give him free tickets whenever they make it to the big game. He's at the Super Bowl. He got a couple other preachers with him. He's got a guy sitting in front of him. It's a drunk. He don't even know which team's got the ball. Now, the guy in front of him paid $500 for that ticket and got so drunk, he don't even know what's going on. That's real smart, ain't it? And the guy got down there and he got to cussing. Now, Perry's got a friend they call Crazy Rusty. He's a missionary. The guy ain't got no sense. He's crazy as I am. Rusty said the guy in front of him got to taking drugs. Said he looked at Perry, said, that guy finna go crazy. Perry said, he already is crazy. He said, he finna get worse. Said, about that time, the guy run off with a length of cuss words, and he took the Lord's name in vain. Perry said, did you hear him? Kevin McDaniel said, you could see this look on Perry's face. Said, about that time, the New England Patriots done something. And Perry jumped up in his seat and just went to slapping the guy on the head, going, And the guy looked over one buddy and says, you know, I got a headache. I'm going to have to go. Perry said, I repented, but he said, you don't talk about my daddy. I get upset. Glory. Hello? Come on, church. I ain't suggesting you slap somebody upside the head in public, but, you know, sometimes you ought to do something to them. I'm walking through the mall minding my own business in Tuscaloosa, and they're working on one of them places that was out of business as remodeling. The guy was in there, and I don't know exactly what he did, but he mashed his thumb or something, and he popped off the big one. He said God, but he didn't say the right last name. Hello? I walked up under him. I said, glory! That guy jumped, missed the ladder, fell down on the floor, and I looked at him. He's got this weird look on his face, and I walked on down through the mall. I come walking back up through there, and the security guard stopped me. He said, sir, they want to see you up at the construction site. I walk back up through the University Mall in Tuscaloosa with him. I get back up there where they're working on that thing, and there's a bunch of them construction workers standing around, and there's two or three of them talking, and there's a police officer there. He walked up, and he says, what's your name? I said, Ken Stroop. He said, you got any ID? I pulled my license out and handed to him. This guy walked by and said, hey, Stroop, what's happening? I said, I got caught for a walk by shouting. Glory. Cop said, you have a problem? I said, no, not anymore. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, my problem was when that guy went to cussing my God, so I figured if he could cuss him, I ought to be able to praise him. Ain't my fault he couldn't handle it. Oh. He gave him a license. He said, you need to move on. I said, oh, glory! You know, y'all think that's crazy, but I come back by in a few minutes, one of them guys said, hey, come here. I walked over. He said, look, I've been having some problems. I said, really? You know, before I left, I got them all to stand in a circle, hold hands with me, and we had prayer. Amen. You say, well, see, preaching, no, it was worth every bit of the embarrassment I went through having them walk me back up there and ask me all them questions about shouting at that guy, because I got to pray with them. And a few weeks later, I was at a revival over at the Tuscaloosa Church of God, and two of them showed up at the revival. Amen. I want to tell you something, church. Sometimes you ought to stand up for what you believe and get a little passion for what your God is. David had a passion for God. Notice what he said in the 48th verse of that 17th chapter. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Huh? Let's face it, church. Who would have bet on David when this started? But God did. God banked on that little kid getting the job done. And notice something. David was so into this thing, he didn't wait. He ran at the guy. Now, church, let me tell you something. You ready to fight when you're the one starting a fight. Hello? Notice this. He took the stone of persistence. Why did David pick up five stones? One prayer might not be enough. But if you're persistent with God, God will begin to move. Hello? Come on, church. Amen. Listen, Genesis chapter 32. Notice what the Bible tells us. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, my name's Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hath prevailed. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Here's a guy praying. He didn't get the answer to start with. As a matter of fact, the angel of the Lord, let me just go ahead and show something to you. Everywhere you find angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, 90% of the time, it is a pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus Christ. You say, prove it. In Revelation, John said, I saw him, the angel of the Lord, and in his thigh was written, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, this guy appears in a tent with Jacob, and Jacob, the man called a liar, supplanter, a deceiver, who's tried to shortcut his life everywhere he's been, ain't got nowhere to turn, and he said, let me go. And David said, I ain't letting you go till you bless me. Some of y'all need to grab that attitude with God and quit doing them as I lay me down to sleep, and get on your knees and grab a hold of God, saying, I'm not turning loose until I hear a sound out of heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and I know God is moving in my life. Woo. David picked up the prayer of persistence. Daniel prayed for 21 days, didn't hear a thing, had no clue something was happening. And on the 21st day, an angel said, from the first time you bowed your knee, God heard. And the prince of Persia, the prince of the power of the air, tried to stop it all. Who is that? Satan himself got involved in this, buddy. But said this morning, God said, I had enough of that junk. And he sent the host of heaven. And I'm the pre-running angel to let you know there's an answer coming. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some of y'all need to stay on your knees till an angel taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, from the first time you bowed your knee, God's been listening. And he's been letting the devil run a little bit, but we're fixing to wear him out. And things are fixing to turn over. And things are fixing to change. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. I got to hurry, but I got one more point. You got to keep your eyes focused on God. Don't be distracted and disposed and disturbed because it's a giant. Listen to what the Bible tells us in the 45th verse. And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord, for the host of the Lord of hosts, for the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Don't be discouraged by distractors. Listen, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? David's ever told my fighting, and his brother's over making fun of him. Anytime you take a stand for God, there's always going to be somebody saying, he's a little uneven over here. He's off kilter, you know, because he believes. Hello? Listen. David touched Saul, said, let no man's heart, 32nd verse, fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight the Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. And he's a man of war from his youth. Hear David's response in the 36th verse. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one as one of them, seeing he hath divided the armies of the living God. Hallelujah. You stay focused on God. Amen. God's going to give you victory. Could you say amen to that, church? Listen, Matthew chapter 14, verse 29. And then said Jesus, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Everybody knows that story. Jesus is walking on the water, and they see him, and Peter says, it's him. He said, hey, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus said, come. Boy, he's focused on God. He's looking right at him. He gets out the boat, and he's watching Jesus. He's walking on the water. Everything's going good. Till he noticed something. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. When he started looking at the problem, he got to thinking, I ain't supposed to be able to do this. And all of a sudden, the minute he thought he couldn't do it, he started passing right through the very thing he was once standing on, until he said, Lord, help me. Now, church, most of us never focus on this, but Peter walked on the water twice. Oh, he walked to get out there. But Jesus didn't pick him up, throw him on his shoulder. He walked back. And he learned more from the steps going back to the ship than he ever learned from the steps walking away from that ship. And there come a time later on when he needed to remember, if I'm focused on God, if all I think about is him, if I develop tunnel vision and all I can see is the master, I don't have to worry about the wind. I don't have to worry about the waves. I don't have to worry about what's coming on the left or the right. All I got to do is keep my eyes focused on him, and in doing so, I've got victory. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise be unto God. Because David was focused on him. Amen. He wasn't worried about what was going to happen. Amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, I need to write down all my problems. And you know, some of y'all ain't got to write them down. You got them memorized. Come on, church. I've gone to camp meeting, and there are some preachers, I will not ask them how they're doing, because they'll tell you. It's discouraging. I got one guy in particular who's been pastoring for years. If you walk up to him, how your church doing? You better have a while. Because he's going to tell you how it's going down, the finances are falling apart, and he don't know what he's going to do. I mean, I've had two or three of my pastors and wanted to go to the altar and pray through just so I could have church. We got some of y'all recite your problems like a poem. You know more about your troubles than the doctors do. Y'all not believe this, but we got some folks around here that actually diagnose themselves and then figure out what the doctor's going to tell them when they show up. Some of y'all, your computers ought to crash. You don't need to go to a computer to find out what's wrong. Well, you go to a doctor that knows what he's doing. That computer can't do internal exams on you. It just tells you, and you look up, find the symptoms. Oh, I got it. The devil likes people because he got you in fear about something you don't even know if you really got it or not, but you're about half dead with it. Come on, church. That's good preaching. You don't need to list the things that's going wrong in your life. What you need to do is stay focused on God and start categorizing the things God's already done for you. Amen. My favorite book in the Bible is the book of Habakkuk. If you read the third chapter, the first 16 verses, he's just starting to praise God for what he's already done in Israel. And he runs through those first 16 verses thanking God for everything he's already done. And he gets so excited about what God's already done, he starts praising him for the future. Can I tell you, if you'll sit down and start talking about what God's already done in your life, it ain't no problem to believe my God. God is still there. My God is still able. My God can still do what he used to do. You got to seize divine opportunity. It came to pass, the 1748th verse of the 17th chapter, it came to pass that when the Philistine arose and came and drew to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward him, and David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slung it. And it smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. Why did he get to win when he shouldn't have? Because God was the one fighting the battle. David was just the instrument he was using. Hello? I'm going to give this last one to go along with it because they kind of go together. But not only do you need to seize divine opportunity, you need to cut the head off of your enemy. Notice what it said in the 51st verse. David cut off the head of the enemy with his own sword. You got to cut off your habits, your addiction. You got to cut off the people taking you in the wrong direction, the communications that are messing you up. Some of you need to turn the TV off or kick your computer out the door. Some of you need to get a baseball bat. Any of y'all seen that movie? What was that movie, the last one that came out? Fireproof. That neighbor thought he was the dumbest guy in the world because he had a computer out there beating it up with a baseball bat. Some of you need to go home tonight, take your computer out in the yard, and beat it to death with a baseball bat. It won't take many swings, but it'd help you. Because some of you, your biggest problem in life is that computer. Oh, I'm getting some of you mad. I don't care. Some of you don't know what channels to look on, where to go. Some of you need to take your TV and put the dial on 3 and turn it off and then just leave it on 3. I don't care what's on there. Just make sure it ain't something you ain't supposed to be watching. Come on, church. Smile. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? Some of you need to deal with your problems by getting rid of your problem. You plug into the source of power, choose the right weapon, keep your eyes, seize the moment of God, cut off the head of the giant. If you do that, you got power to overcome the giants. Listen, church. If we don't become the place where we can overcome the giants of our life, we'll never help anybody else. If the devil can use anything to keep us away from the things God's wanting to do in our lives, we will never get where God wants us to be to do what God wants us to do. I remember I was in Colorado preaching revival. The pastor didn't even have a TV. I mean, I was having withdrawal symptoms. I literally went to Sears in the next town just to walk through and stand and watch TV. And I couldn't even get the Western Channel. That was really messing me up. I'm in a Western area. Can't find a Western Channel. And I'm like, surely they got an old cowboy movie out here somewhere. This is where the cowboys lived. Lord. But I had to get up every morning, and all I had to do was read the Bible and pray. And the preacher would go off to work, leave me at that house, and I'd spend the day in that house reading the Bible, reading the book, and praying. Man, we was having revival. Hello? I noticed the last part of that week was more powerful than the first part. And I began to realize it's because I was spending more time doing what I was supposed to be doing. Hello? Come on, church. If we get a passion for God and we put Him first in our life, we can overcome some of these things in our life. But if we don't, we're going to continually struggle in a pattern of defeat. Because every time we think we got a victory, there's going to be another giant going to show up. And can I tell you, Satan knows how to push your buttons. You ever notice when people mess up, it's always the same dumb thing that keeps getting them? Hello? Because for some reason there's something in us that Satan realized they got a weak spot and we can take them out with it. But if we'll get a hold to God, sell out to God, seize His power, we can overcome in His grace. Stand with me all over the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, I thank You tonight, God, for Your love and mercy. God, I believe You to touch tonight with Your power, with Your grace, with Your glory. Hallelujah. Father God, have Your way in our life. Touch us with Your glory. Move on us, God, with Your power. God, I believe You tonight to help some of us overcome. In Jesus' name. David understood a spiritual reality that a lot of people of his day did not understand. The giants were an outcropping of evil in the world to torment the children of God. David understood that one of the purposes of his life was to destroy and effectively put away that problem in this world. He said, "Preacher, you believe that? I believe that's why he killed the last five living giants on this face of this earth that have ever existed." He had a purpose for what he did. He defeated them physically, but at Calvary, Jesus defeated them spiritually. I believe we can focus on God and defeat the things of our lives spiritually, physically, through the power of the anointing of God to make us overcomers if we turn it over to Him. Make it an object of prayer. I am a firm believer that if there's something in your life you need to get rid of, if every time you feel the urge to do it, you'll pray, you'll find yourself less likely to take off into it. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God put this particular message into my life to give to you. And for some reason, He pushed me to preach it again tonight to finish it, because there is someone in this building tonight who was here this morning who needs to let go of some stuff. It may be some mental challenges in your life. There may be some depression and some anxiety attacks that's just wearing you out. It's time you stood up and said, "Enough is enough. I want a peace of God that only He can give." God didn't intend for us to walk around in fear and bondage, but He said, "God didn't give me the spirit of fear, but the spirit of joy and of peace and of a sound mind." And I believe with all my heart, God's getting ready to move this church somewhere it's never been before. But He's got to have people with a passion for Him. He's got to have a people with a desire to fight for Him that He can trust in battle. And for that to happen, we have got to overcome the giants of our life, so that when we run into a giant out there, we can say, "Hey, wait a minute. The God that did that is going to do this, and He's going to take care of it for me." Father in heaven, I thank You tonight, God, for Your word. Master, You said it is not by might, not by power, but it is by Thy Spirit, saith God. Holy, holy God, have Your way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.